By the way, you found this inside your bulletin. About 3 or 4 years ago, we had Cheryl to compile, put this together. And let me just say a couple things about it before I bring my message. The individual on the front of this bulletin here was my senior drill instructor at Parris Island, South Carolina, back in 1965. When I met this guy for the first time, I thought I'd met the devil. Never met anybody as mean in all my life. And I'm going to tell you something. He turned me every way but loose. Being an old West Virginia fella, they used to call us West by God Virginia. That's how he referenced us. But anyway, this guy took a bunch of raw recruits, worked on us, and about 8 weeks later, we graduated proudly wearing the uniform of the Marine Corps. And this individual volunteered. Gunnery Sergeant Leroy Elliott volunteered for service in Vietnam and was killed in Vietnam. And I was able, fortunately, to do some research and find out a little bit about his background. And we wanted to put this together. We hope this will, perhaps the Lord will use it in some way to incite patriotism, appreciation of our country. And we thank God for all of those that have served our country. And some, of course, at the sacrifice of their own lives. And so I'm very appreciative for my sergeant that taught me what he taught me at Parris Island, South Carolina. I actually could have stood when two flags were brought in today, but I jumped ship later on, got in the Army. Not that I slight the Marine Corps, because I tell you what, I felt like I had the best training anybody could ever get in the Marine Corps. You just cannot beat their boot camp, that's for sure. But anyway, I thank God today. I sit there, and of course I was moved to emotions, because after being a Christian, I am so thankful to be an American, and I thank God for the privilege of living in this country. Turn in your Bible, Psalm chapter 33, please. Psalm chapter 33, verse number 12. Psalm chapter 33, verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." I realize that this time of the year, this is one of the favored, chosen texts of Scripture that many preachers preach from and make application with when we think of this time of the year. But yet rightly so. We, of course, understand that the nation of Israel itself serves as a prime example of how during those times in Israel's history, it purged its land of its idols. It focused its attention upon the Lord God Himself. God blessed Israel. Somewhat of a standard down through the years. But yet at the same time, if you or I enjoy, as we do, the blessings, the privileges that God has afforded to bless our country with, and of course keep in mind the blessings that we enjoy are given to us by the Lord, it's God that's made this nation of ours what it is. And I believe there's some reasons for that. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this good service. We thank you for touching our hearts and for stirring up emotions within us, the pride, the patriotism, as we realize the fact that we're enjoying blessings that certainly did not come free. Now, Father, bless us in these few short moments together, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the birth certificate of the United States is a Declaration of Independence, which registered our birth July the 4th, 1776. This 4th, 2017, we again celebrate our birthday, which includes birth pangs of deliverance out of bondage into freedom. This celebration obviously should be a celebration of pride, but yet sanctified pride, if I might add. We need to also celebrate cautiously, for we understand today that freedom is fragile. Study the history of nations, and specifically Israel's history, and you certainly find that to be true. Ancient Israel was blessed when gods were put away and when God was enthroned. God blessed Israel. God alone, as we understand, as we believe, in fact we firmly believe, that God alone is a provider of national blessings. Ancient Babylon serves as an example of the consequences of arrogance and pride. I think of Belshazzar. I think of Belshazzar the night that he was wining and dining. The same night his empire crumbled. And the next morning would witness the flying of a new flag over his land. The flag of the Persian Empire. We need to understand today, as I said earlier, that freedom is fragile. We have responsibilities. Yes, this is a joyous time of the year, rightly so. Yes, we celebrate the birth of our nation. But yet we do so soberly, as well as other ways as well. The fireworks, the cookouts, the parades, the pageantry will shortly end. But we know today that the maintenance of our nation will remain a pressing issue. We face today, as I speak, we face soaring debts. We face ongoing wars and greater threats than ever. The cause of our freedom was a cause that was bathed in the blood of patriots. And the maintenance of our freedom requires continual sacrifice. And to make matters worse, even today we know this to be true. Our country is threatened internally by subtle enemies who make up many of the media pool and occupy political offices. We hear about the political elites, the swamp, do we not? We read about that, hear about that on the news. The political and the media swamp was born, by the way, if I could mention this, the political and the media swamp was born in American classrooms that spewed left-wing socialist doctrine and anti-constitution rhetoric. And then there came a time that the brainwashed students graduated, filled the media and political position, and by the way, that's the elitist crowd that's dogging the footsteps of our president today. He may, if I could say this, he may not be a politician, and he's rather crude in his oratory skills, but he succeeded, I believe, in 2016 in waking a sleeping giant. We're talking about the multitudes of people that sit silently in the shadows. But I'll tell you, I thank God for the grassroots core that still remains in our country, of people of our nation getting to the place to where we said, I've had enough. Enough is enough. And I thank God for that core. America basically said, we've had enough of a smooth-talking apologizer. We want a president putting America first, whether it be Donald Trump or Donald Duck. We just want somebody that'll put America first. We need to celebrate our independence mindful of our roots, of our heritage, and willing to continually pay the price for this cherished freedom. I think today, as I try to do every year when we have this type of a service, I just think it's good to at least briefly be reminded a little bit of American history. Good time. You know, American history verifies the fact that civilizations built on culture and power fall. There was a French lady, a lady of French descent, by the name of Catherine Millard. She wrote a book entitled God's Signature Over the Nation's Capital. She pointed out the fact that God's signature is visible in America's rich culture etched into marble and stone in the warp and woof of American's culture. She reminded us that a visit to the National Archives, Jefferson Memorial, Washington Monument confirmed that truth. A tour of all the public buildings, including the White House, the Supreme Court, the Capitol Building, the Library of Congress, the House of Representatives proved that point. Above the Speaker's chair, the Speaker of the House chair, are the words, "In God we trust. In God we trust." The shedding of America's grace upon our nation. And I believe God has shed His grace on us. The shedding of God's grace upon America is not attributed to our power, our prestige, our ingenuity, our creativity, our military, but it's attributed to God Himself who saw fit to bless us. I think of that. Spiritual blessings that you and I have enjoyed in this country and the prominence of America is not based upon America's resources, because after all, there's a lot of other nations that have a lot of rich resources. That doesn't say it alone, does it? Our prominence is not because of our war machinery, our sports arena, our science laboratory, our art museum, or our universities. Our history reveals its answer to our great greatness is God has seen fit to shed His grace on America. We cannot honestly restrict the stories, the pictures, the quotes of our country's founders to the museum. Yes, we've seen the picture of Washington kneeling in the snow at Valley Forge. But understand that our country did indeed begin with the attitude as expressed by Patrick Henry, who said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but by the gospel, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." A quote by Patrick Henry. Another man who helped one of the signers of the Constitution said, "I've carefully examined the evidence of the Christian religion, and if I was sitting as a juror upon its authenticity, I would unhesitatingly give my verdict in its favor. I can prove its truth as clearly as any proposition ever submitted to the mind of man." Alexander Hamilton. That same signer said this, "For my part, I sincerely esteem it," talking about the Constitution, "a system which without the finger of God never could have been suggested and agreed upon by such a diversity of interests." When you consider the signers of the Constitution, you certainly saw diversity of interests. But I believe that God had His hand upon that event and upon that document. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. May I say that the ideals that shaped this country were offsprings of spiritual principles. You see, American history includes both the battlefield and the Bible. It includes both ingenuity and intercession. It includes resources, but yet it really included and includes reliance on God. Some of our greatest military leaders knew that a nation on its knees is stronger than a nation under arms. Someone once said, "Without divine direction, history becomes a tale told by an idiot." Every country, and I mean every country, is unique and blessed by the stroke of the Creator's hand. I've had the privilege to visit, to witness the beauty in many places across this land, and the privileges that I've had to travel from time to time. And I think of the many sights and sounds and smells and food that characterize countries around this world. I see beauty in the geography and in the culture of all countries. I, for example, have been blessed, have been touched, have been moved. As I've seen the geography of other countries outside of our own country. I think, for example, of the Danube River in Hungary. I think of the mountains of Austria. I think of the castles of Germany. I think of the Andes of the Ecuador. I think of the deserts of Iraq. I think of the coconut groves and the volcanic mountains of the Philippines. I think of the hustle and the bustle of Mexico City. I think of the old, outdated, rustic train in the Ukraine that I rode on, rode all night long, rickety, stopping in every little town and hamlet, thought we'd never get to our destination. I think of the countryside and the people of Romania. I was touched years ago when we visited that country, and I can still remember the simple lifestyle of the residents of that country. The wall had not been down long. How teenage Romanian girls skipped through the meadows, doing nothing and occupying themselves with picking four-leaf clovers. And I thought, they sure, it'd be wonderful if our young people could go back to simplicity like that. Amen. But I've been touched. I've been touched. I admire the beauty, the geography, and the culture of other countries. But give me America. I love America. I love America for many reasons. I love its history. I love 1776. I love Appomattox. I love Mount Vernon. I love Philadelphia. I love to read about Paul Revere and his horse. Betsy Ross and her flag. George Washington in Valley Forge. Abe Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address. Francis Scott Key in the Star-Spangled Banner. Uncle Sam in his hat. Will Rogers in his humor. Mark Twain in the Mississippi River. And Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. I love America. I love her history. I love her geography. Geography. All the way from the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco to the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City. All the way from the Mississippi River in Iowa to the New River in West Virginia. All the way from the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. I love America. I love her history. I love her geography. I love her government. Free enterprise system. Constitutional republic. I love her flag. I love her uniform. I love her culture. I love her ruggedness. I love her rough grass core. I love America. I love her monuments. I love her symbols. I love Washington Monument. The statue of the unknown soldier is my answer. The handful of Marines holding the flag at Iwo Jima is my answer. The cry, remember Pearl Harbor, and recently remember 9/11, is my answer. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. But realize the blessings come from God. Amen. Realize that freedom is fragile. Realize that no person here today has any right to take for granted the blessings and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. While I stand here speaking today, people are dying. While I stand speaking today, we're represented by brave military personnel in places around this world that are continually putting their life on the line and continually are dying in foreign battlefields. Yet, let's come back to the verse. Righteousness exalteth a nation, another verse, but sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their lands. I believe today that our country is at war big time. We're at war. Yes, we're at war today with radical Islamic terrorism, But there are greater enemies. Enemies internal. I'm talking about humanism. I'm talking about secularism. I'm talking about left-wing radicalism. Marxist socialism that's threatening our existence. Above all, and I mean above all, America is thumbing its noses in the face of God, and our country is rushing quickly towards judgment. Yes, I thank God today for our president. I'm so refreshed that our president upholds the First Amendment, Second Amendment. I'm so refreshed that our president believes in freedom of religion. Heard him speaking yesterday evening along that line. I'm thankful for our president. But my friend today, understand me well. The hope of this country is not in a president. The hope of this country is not in politics. The hope of this country today is not in what and who is representing us in Washington. Our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I say to all of us today, it's salvation by the grace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ that secures the greatest freedom a person will ever know. You know, 1965, I became a Marine, but that wasn't nearly as fulfilling, as exciting as when I became a Christian in 1968. I wore that Marine Corps uniform with pride, but I'll tell you, that garment and that uniform is not my ticket to glory. But I'll tell you, in 1968, when God saved me, and I became a soldier of Jesus Christ, the uniform that God gave me that day, the imputed righteousness of Christ, is my ticket to glory. Oh yes, this morning I love this country, and I love its uniform, and I love our military, but I'll tell you, I'm still better off, and I'd rather say I'm a Christian. And that requires salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In this gathering today, if you're here and you're not saved, I plead with you, come to Christ today. If you're here today and there's any question in your mind as to whether or whether or not you've placed your trust in Christ's finished work, I urge you to do that today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.